And now, the top 10 albums charting across the nation. You're listening to the Earshot 20. Here is Brian Cleveland and Anthony Inman.
All right, here we go. Second hour of the Earshot 20. Last show of 2015 before a little bit of a break. And this hour of the show is so jam-packed.
You need to go faster.
We don't have a lot of time to talk, so I'm going to get right to it. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to the Earshot 20. I'm Anthony Ammon, Brian Cleveland on the other side of the mic. We count down the charts every week, and we get them from earshot-online.com. Brian, we'll let you know what you find if you go to that website.
Yeah, I'll just give you the truncated version here, which it is that you can always find it at earshot-online.com. National Campus and Community Radio Port this week, ending Tuesday, December 8th, 2015. You can always find the full list there, as well as the list of supporting stations and specialty charts for electronic hip hop, international jazz, loud, folk, roots, and blues, yearly countdown, monthly countdown, interviews, reviews, and lots of more features, including, as always, their sort of recap on the year, which people can submit to now. So be sure to check out, despite the fact that we'll be off the air for a couple weeks and we won't be doing the countdowns, the charts will still be there and they'll still be lots of awesome features. Should also quickly mention, just because we didn't have a chance earlier, that we do say goodbye to a couple records this week from the week before. Elvi from 13 to 21, Jerusalem My Heart from 19 to 38, and Joanna Newsom from 11 to number 35. And since we won't have time to talk a lot about the lowdown this week, there are 8 records debuting below the top 20. You can find the full list there. It includes at the highest spot Little You, Little Me, who we chatted with last week, and their second album I'd Watch the Day Till It Died at number 24. And you can find all that list and more, as always, at earshot-online.com. So just because we're taking a break doesn't mean Earshot is, and you can get all that cool stuff.
There you go. We're online too. Find us on Facebook at Earshot20, or on Twitter also at Earshot20 for the handle, and our email earshot20@gmail.com. Gonna get right into it. Brian's gonna let you know what's coming in. Number 10, we'll make our way up.
Closing track from Esmarine coming at you, starting it off from Lost Voices on Constellation Records at number 10. Over number 12, Lullaby for Noel is the name of that one. Carry On, the closing track to Deer Hunter's latest Fading Frontier at number 9, down from number 4, and dropping 2 spots as well this week is number 8, Young Rival Interior Light. The track you're going to hear is That's Chemistry.
Brian, it was pretty fitting that Esmarine was first. Lost Voices.
We didn't have time for your terrible jokes.
Here's your number 10, Lullaby for Nola, Esmarine, your number 10. Stick around, there's more on the way. It's the Earshot 20.
Still carry on. It's the same big scene.
Earshot 20. Number 18.
Young Rival there at number 8 this week, down 2 spots. The album Interior Light on Paper Bag Records and the album That's Chemistry. Carry On by Deer Hunter is the closing track to their latest release, Fading Frontier, and it's at number 9, down to number 4, and up 2 spots to number 10, kicking off our last hour of 2015. It is Esmarine from the album Lost Voices. You heard Lullaby for Nola.
Right, second hour of the Earshot 20, and if you're just joining us, thanks for sticking with the charts. Of course, all kinds jam-packed into this show, and we have more music news to jam in as well to make sure that you know exactly what's going on. Stephen Karlik here to bring that to you, and I feel like this is a big thing that Neil Peart is saying, that it's just time to walk away from music.
Yeah, this could be either good news or, I mean, here's the thing. I'm of the mindset that I would rather somebody walk away at the top of their game than to slowly watch either their descent into old age or their descent into mediocrity. And many, I've heard from many Rush fans who are actually kind of happy about this, although it's now being disputed even by Geddy Lee. Let's get into it. Neil Peart has indeed come out and said he's retiring from the music industry. He said this in an interview with Drumhead magazine. "Lately, Olivia has been introducing me to new friends at school as my dad. He's a retired drummer. True to say, funny to hear, and it does not pain me to realize that, like all athletes, there comes a time to take yourself out of the game. I would rather set it aside than face the predicament described in our song, Losing It," in which is the lyric, "sadder still to watch it die than to never have known it." So Pert's long suggested that his retirement was imminent. The drummer has struggled with chronic tendonitis and also regularly told media he hopes to spend more time with his family. Rush did embark on their R40 tour earlier this year, and guitarist Alex Lifeson told Classic Rock magazine it would likely be their last full-blown tour. Here's the thing, though. Now Geddy Lee has said in an interview with Prague that he is disputing the claims that Pert made. He said, quote, "We'll get together eventually and chat about things. But in my view, there's certainly nothing surprising in what he said. Neil just feels he has to explain with all the thousands of people asking, why no more tours? He needs to explain his side of it. So apparently there is a chance, maybe, I don't know, maybe they'll record again or something like that. But for now, it does look like Pert is retiring."
Well, I mean, and I agree with you. It's better to go out on top than, you know, to have a career halfway through that you start to just you lose the magic.
Yeah, don't make me name the number of bands who've just straight up lost it instead of hanging it up or starting a new project or something like that. So.
For sure. Well, good for Neil Peart. We'll see what happens with him. We'll move on now because there's an opportunity for you, if you are a fan of the Beatles, to go somewhere they've been and you've never been able to do this before.
Yeah, this is kind of weird, actually. So anyone hoping to follow in the Beatles' footsteps in India, so the Beatles famously visited a spiritual retreat in 1968. It was an ashram in India run by the late guru Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, who had leased it in 1957. Now, apparently, you can follow in their footsteps, go to that ashram, and spend time studying meditation and maybe writing songs for your own version of the White Album. Apparently, that ashram was abandoned in the 70s and fell into disrepair. Beatles fans reportedly continued to visit the site and would sneak in by climbing over the walls. Apparently, the Forestry Department eventually took it over. That was in 2003, and are now allowing tourists inside. Quote, "We have cleaned up the place and lined the pathways with flowers. We're making some gardens and putting some benches for visitors," Forestry official Rajendra Natial told the BBC. Quote, "We are introducing a nature trail and bird walk. We also plan to set up a cafeteria and a souvenir shop at some point. We want to retain the place's rustic look, though. Tourists will be charged 150 rupees, which is apparently $3.05, while foreign visitors will be charged 700 rupees, which is $14.23. So, not a bad price to pay for taking a stroll where the Beatles did.
Sounds like a cheap vacation to me. You got to get to India, but
yeah, that's the hard part. Or you could just walk across actual Abbey Road in England, which I did, not barefooted. But
wow, that's good for you. I didn't know that about you. I learn something new every time I talk to you, every single week.
Yeah. Cool. I did it. We did it. Me and my four friends, we took a photo of us crossing. Actually, you will know those people. It was Graham from Tokyo Police Club and Will from Will Curry and the Country French. Oh, and Josh was with us. Josh also from Tokyo Police Club.
Well, there you go. So you guys, did you recreate any moments of the Beatles? Did you try?
Yeah, the four of us walked across like them. We weren't dressed like them. We were on a crappy school trip. But we did it.
You did it.
Hey.
All right. We've got one more story to get to here, and then we'll get to your song pick. And this news is for fans of Yukon Blonde as they're heading across Canada.
Yeah, more tour news. It's that time of year. They've announced another batch of coast-to-coast dates behind their semi-recent On Blonde album. The band will hit the road again early next year. The trip kicks off with a hometown show at Vancouver's Commodore Ballroom and will proceed eastward all the way to the Maritimes. The final show is at the Rock House in St. John's, Newfoundland on March 5th. While support acts have yet to be revealed, you can see the entire itinerary at Exclaim.ca, all kinds of venues here. So I think, hold on, can we say that they're playing in every province? Every province except Prince Edward Island, I'm sorry to say. PEI, you'll have to make it down to Fredericton or Halifax or St. John's.
But at least they know where the East Coast is.
They do know where the East Coast is. They're finding it. So yeah, some cool tour dates from them. You can also see their video for I Want to Be Your Man on that page at exclaim.ca.
Awesome. And there you can find all kinds of music news. And although you were being a bit facetious at the beginning of the program, we want to make sure that people do go to exclaim.ca over the break, because as this is our last show, we won't get to hear from you, but there will be some continuing posts and things. So check it out over the break and look forward to seeing Stephen again in the new year, or at least hearing from him. I guess if you have some kind of weird telepathic powers, you might be able to see him too. But Stephen, as always, it is a pleasure to have you on the program. Wish you the best for the holiday season. We'll turn it over to you one more time for 2015 for your song pick of the week.
Yes, I also want to add, Exclaim is, of course, in the middle of rolling out our year-end content, our best albums of the year list by genre, best Canadian music videos of 2015, trends we could live without, all that kind of fun stuff. You can see that at exclaim.ca. This song pick of the week is maybe one of my favorite ones. I discovered this song just a few days ago, courtesy of the blog Said the Gramophone. This is a song by a band called Mbangwana Star. It's two Congolese musicians working with a bunch of other musicians who are much younger than they are. The Congolese artists in question are in their 50s. This song is called Malu Kai, and it's featuring Kokono Number 1. It features maybe one of the best instrumentals I've ever heard. It's actually, you're going to hear it now, but to identify it, it is a likembe, and it's amplified like a guitar. Listen to it now. It's called Malu Kai by Mbangwana Star on Earshot Radio. Extra.
Man, check. Earshot listeners, it's Stephen Karlick here, senior editor at Exclaim, Canada's source for music news, streams, reviews, and features across all genres. You can catch a summary of the week's big music news on the weekly Earshot 20, but for in-depth, up-to-the-minute news, reviews, and streams, you'll want to set your homepage to exclaim.ca and pick up our most recent issue, featuring Alabama Shakes, Joanna Newsom, Alessia Cara, the Wainwright Sisters, Sharon Jones, and of course our annual year-end coverage of the best of 2015. On the airwaves, on the street, and online at exclaim.ca, we've got your music news covered.
You're listening to the Earshot 20. Number 7.
It's the Earshot 20.
That was Said Knife by US Girls. Their latest half free is up to spots number 6, kicking around this week. At number 7, down for number 2, Magical Clouds, Are You Alone? You heard Control. And Stephen Carlick's last pick of 2015, Mbangwana Star, and a track, Malakai, featuring Konono in number 1.
You did a good job with that. You did a good job. We've got a few more tracks also coming up. We have still so much more to give you, including my interview with Jimmy from Metric and our interview with Claire Boucher, Grimes, and that's all coming up right now. But first, Brian's going to let you know what's coming in at number 5.
All right, we were hoping this one would come into the program. It debuted number 22 last week, a fine new EP by Moss Lime called Zeux de Québec. And at number 5, you're going to hear a track called Kettle.
Can you please feel the kettle? I would need a coffee. Would you please drop a hand? I think I will vomit. Would you put a few more words in all your sentences? Would you try a little harder and be nicer to me? Would you please come over here and bake me some cookies? Would you try to explain this? I don't like it a bit. Would you try a little harder and be nicer to me?
It's been an unpredictable year for Metric, but fans have a lot to be happy about and even more to look forward to now that the year is nearing completion. The band has put out releases, been on tour, and has had quite a bit of success and even more to look forward to coming in 2016. Jimmy Shaw is the guitarist for Metric and joins me on the phone to chat about what's been happening with the band. Jimmy, welcome to the Earshot 20.
Thanks for having me.
So I want to talk a little bit about you had quite a big year and with releases of, you know, Pagans in Vegas and talking about already having material for what's now expected to be your next record in 2016. And then on top of that, tours as well that you've been on tour with, doing some shows with Imagine Dragons and then some without. What has the year been like? Has it been really big for you guys nonstop?
You know, it's hard to say that any year has kind of been bigger or more work or doing more stuff than any other. You know, we've been at it for a while now, and for 2014 we decided to try and take the year off, and that really didn't work to the extent where we got together in the early part of the year, and Emily and I both realized that we'd written enough material for a couple of records, and so we just kind of threw the year off thing out the window and just went back to work again, because I think it's what we do best. You know, it's where we feel most comfortable, actually, is when we're just working. So we just kind of rolled on through, and then the next thing we knew, it was into 2015, and we got offered this Imagine Dragons tour, and that's kind of what put everything that we were doing on some version of a timeline. You know, I think without that tour, we probably would have taken a little longer, and we would have, I don't know, things just would have been differently, I think. But once we sort of got on that timeline, and we were releasing singles and, getting ready to do that tour, and then the rest of the year has been doing a lot of different stuff, touring Europe, and it turned out to be kind of way busier than I think we thought it was going to be, but all in good ways. So, yeah, I mean, for us, you know, this Pagans was our 6th record, so it's just kind of, you know, more of what we do.
Very cool. And Pagans in Vegas, a really cool record, a lot of great sound on the record, but you do have something scheduled, or it looks like there's something going to be coming out in 2016 or expected in 2016. Is that going to be a departure from the sound that we hear right now on your current record?
Yeah, it does. It does sound really different. I mean, you know, and it's we did a lot of tracking while we were on the Imagine Dragons tour. We went into studios on all the days off on that tour around the U.S. and recorded in many, many different places. And actually, yesterday, you know, we took the opportunity to go into the studio in Toronto, and we really sat down and listened to everything that we had. And it's definitely different than what we did with Pagans. It seems at this point that it could go a bunch of different directions. So I think that we're kind of in the point now where we're going to decide what to do with it, and whether to take it, you know, left or right or center, or which is really exciting. You know, Pagans for us was definitely definitely bold in his decision-making process, because we did things that we'd really never done before. You know, we had whole songs without, you know, a guitar, a bass guitar, or a drum kit. We'd never really done that before, you know. We definitely ventured further into electronic production than we ever had. And it felt like, you know, on someone's sixth album, that's the time when you should experiment, you know. It's the time when we didn't feel like kind of running the similar gamut over and over and over again. So it felt bold to us. And I think that, I don't know, it seems like it's just something you're supposed to do at some point.
And having all this extra music that you kind of have in your back pocket, I ask this question quite a bit because I find it interesting to see the difference. Some bands will say that they definitely will take stuff that they have in their back pocket, they're thinking about for an album, and they'll road test it. So they'll take it on tour and they'll work it into the set. Others won't because they like the surprise, I guess, around releasing the music. Do you road test that material that you have to see what works and what doesn't? Or do you guys just kind of keep that in the back pocket for when you put out the next release?
I mean, we've definitely done that in the past. We did that. We did a lot of that early on with "Live It Out." I think we were touring half of that record before we even recorded it. We did it a little bit with "Fantasies," and we haven't really done it since. With "Synthetica" and "Pagans," those records were entirely written while we were off the road, completed while we were off the road, and then, you know, you put the show together and you do the whole thing. And, you know, it's there's definitely, you know, upsides to both. I can see now, you know, something definitely does happen. After you play a song in 40 shows, you know, it becomes second nature to such an extent that recording it, you know, would be a great idea at that point. In terms of releasing records, you know, you can't always kind of afford to do that, you know. But Metric is kind of in a situation now where, you know, we only can really do one real big North American tour per record. So that's most likely going to have to be after the record is released, you know, unless we kind of did a whole bunch of, like, small shows and stuff like that. But once you get into the cycle of the way that the touring industry works, it becomes more difficult to pull that off.
For sure. And talking about touring, lots of tour dates that you have lined up coming in to December, and then after the new year hits into February and March, lots of U.S. dates. Are you adding more Canadian dates to those tours as well? And what's that look like for, you know, the Canadian audience?
Well, there's an announcement coming soon. That's really all I can say.
Perfect. Well, there you go. That we love to hear that. That's great stuff. Awesome. Well, ilovemetric.com is where you can find these guys online, and I definitely suggest you head on over to the website. All kinds of stuff there. That's where you can also find information about the tour and any announcements that are coming up. Jimmy, we wish you guys the best of luck, and great album. We look forward to what's coming in 2016, and happy holidays to you and all the band.
Right on. Thanks so much for the support, man. It really means the world to us.
No problem at all. And here they are right now on the charts. It is Metric. Stick around. There's more of the charts on the way after this as well. It's the Earshot 20.
Baby, there's no better time, no better time.
It's the Earshot 20.
That was The Shade by Metric at number four. For number five this week, the album Pagans in Vegas. We had a chat with them in between a track as well by Moss Lime called Kettle at number five. Or number 22 is their new EP, Sud de Quebec.
All right, three more tracks. Here we go for the last show of 2015. In between those tracks, we're going to hear from Claire Boucher, Grimes. That's coming up. Brian, get us set. What's in at number three?
All right, it's still this week. It is Dilly Dally from the album Soar. Here is Snakehead.
Taking a break from the charts, and we told you that this was our last show and one of our biggest for 2015, and I think it is, and easily makes it in a big show just in who we got to talk to this week. Easily the most anticipated album of the year, and arguably 2014 as well. Art Angels is the fourth studio album from Canadian synth-pop artist and producer Grimes, the alter ego of Claire Boucher, and the follow-up to her 2012 breakout release Visions. Teasing the album early in the year, it's release was officially announced 2 weeks before it landed for fans to get their hands on, and Claire joins us on the show right now to chat about the album. Claire, welcome back to the Earshot 20.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And I was talking to Brian before we were getting the interview ready and stuff. I remembered you were our first interview we ever got to do on the Earshot 20 back when we started the show 170 some episodes ago. So thanks again for joining us, so many years later.
Oh, man, that's really cool. Yeah, thank you.
So I want to chat a little bit about the album, because there's a lot of work that goes into these things, and it has been a while since you released your album back in 2012, and now this new album. Is it catching you off guard with all of the reaction that you're getting from the album? How, like, because everybody thinks it's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of trippy. It feels very surreal, I would say. Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where I haven't actually processed it, and I'm kind of avoiding, like, reading too much about it, because it's still scary. Like, I don't really want to know quite yet. But everything I've heard from, you know, my friends and stuff is really nice.
And you seem somewhat surprised by the reaction of reality when a demo was released earlier in the year, and eventually you said you'd consider adding it to the new album after fans showed a lot of love for it. Have you changed your opinion on the song now that the album's been released, or are you still kind of like, I did it because fans really wanted it?
I mean, I think for me that song was, it's kind of for fans. I think it's always good to do something for fans. It's not... I don't know how to describe it. I think it's from... I wrote it very shortly after I made Visions, like maybe, or well, probably like a year afterwards. So I just kind of, I don't know, it still feels unfinished to me. I think I'm going to have to make a third version. I think I just have a weird complex with this song where I can never get it right or something.
Well, it does sound great. And do you have similar doubts about the album as well? Is it for you, once you've put it out, it's more, you just leave it in the hands of the fans, or are you still in the, in kind of the mode of you really love the album and what you've put out so far?
I actually really like the album. I feel like it's pretty much done. I mean, there's always kind of, you always hear things, you're like, oh no, that vocal take could have been better, or like, oh, there's a little sound there that could be better, or, you know, I think it's just, you know, perfectionism, you know, things just get in your head, and I can theoretically still be working on the album. I had to kind of impose an end date, you know, so that I would eventually stop, but overall, I'm, like, really happy with it. To me, it feels like the first album that it's, like, really, I would say it's finished.
And a lot of work goes into creating albums. And back in 2013, you had noted that it was really exhausting for you, the whole process of putting out the first album and talking about that. Have you kept that in mind now with now moving into the new album and everything that's on the horizon, including the tour in Asia, Australia, and Europe, and everything that's going to be coming up in 2016? Is your well-being at the front of your mind?
I'm definitely considering it more. I think it's definitely, in order to be, like, a career artist, you have to, like, you know, start, like, even just stuff like stretching every day and working out and, you know, trying to not eat too much junk food. It's like, you know, because you can't really afford to get sick, especially when you have shows, you know, and especially as a vocalist, like, you can't even have a sore throat. So I would say, I think over the last year, like, being more health conscious has become really important to me, and just being, you know, trying not to put too many things on the books, so that it's like, because the worst is, you know, when you have to cancel a show or something. So, yeah, that's definitely been a change in attitude, I think, since the first album.
More with Claire in a few. Right now, we're going to get back to the charts. Ought is up to number 2 this week from 7 the week before. The album Sun Coming Down. Stick around. We'll have more with Claire after this. It's the Earshot 20.
let's take a look. Build to suit. Celebration! 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 Celebration!
It's the Earshot 20, and that was Ought at number 2 this week, up from 7 the week before. The title of the album, Sun Coming Down. We still have Claire Boucher, the alter ego of Grimes, on the show with us right now, chatting about her new album. And in addition to all of the work, writing and producing the new album, you deserve additional recognition for a lot of the work that you did putting into your music videos as well, which are really cool. What was the process like in creating those, and was it a similar process to creating the album, or does it take a bit of a different artistic approach?
I think the videos are pretty different in the sense that, you know, they're not for sale, and they're not getting like a score from any websites or anything. I think the videos, they're kind of more free in a way, because you know, you're not really being evaluated on them. It's just kind of something extra. So for me, the videos are like really, really fun. And it's also the only thing I really get to be collaborative on, or collaborative. I don't know how to say that word. But I really like working with other people, and it's really refreshing to, you know, like I work with my brother on most of my videos. So just to like be bouncing ideas off people, and even just working with extras or actors or my friends or dancers, it's like, I don't know. It's something I don't normally get to do, since I don't have a band or anything. Yeah, I guess it's a pretty different process. It's also kind of the same. I usually just think something up, and then I just like enlist people to help me execute it.
And as always, you had complete control over the creation of the record, and you do take a very hands-on approach. But there are a couple of guest appearances. How did working with Janelle Monáe and Aristophanes come about?
I think in both cases, you know, I'd made a beat, and I really did want to have some tracks on the album where I worked with other vocalists, just to kind of like, you know, be able to step back and, you know, be a producer. And so I, with Aristophanes, I hit her up and I just sent her the track, and I was like, do you have any interest in this? Because I found her on SoundCloud, and I'd been listening to her a lot, and she's a really, really unique vocalist. So yeah, she sent back vocals like, you know, within a couple weeks, and they were really perfect, so I didn't really have to do much to them. And then with Janelle, it's kind of embarrassing, but I kept seeing her at music festivals, and you know, I'm a huge fan, and you know, but I'm just too shy to go say hi, so I sent her a painting, just as like a, you know, as a fan, kind of. And she just wrote back and was like, oh, we should make a track or something, and so then we did.
That's awesome, though. That's a great way to collaborate, for sure. And beyond touring, you at one point mentioned having many songs kind of on the back burner. Can we expect a new album quickly, or are you going to take time to work on an album? So, meaning, you know, a few years, a couple years down the road, we won't see another release, but you'll be doing some touring in there.
I'm not sure yet. I do have a bunch of stuff that I want to release, but I also kind of have some new thoughts, so maybe I want to just, you know, wipe the slate clean and start fresh. Right now I'm in pre-production for a couple music videos that I'm really, really excited about. So I want to focus on the videos, and then I want to get through touring, and then I'm going to kind of like step back and see where I'm at. So I could probably, you know, pull together some stuff pretty quickly, or I could like do something totally different and crazy. I have yet to decide what the, I might have to do something totally different and crazy, which would probably take a couple more years. Because I think it's really good to, you know, for every album to be really, really different from the previous album. Or at least, in my opinion, that's what I like to do.
And you've got a big tour to think about, too, coming up. And it starts in January. You run across Asia and Europe. Is there any one place that you really enjoy performing, or maybe that you haven't been, that you're excited to get to in this upcoming tour in the new year?
We're going to be hitting, I think, like, maybe Romania and Poland and stuff like that, where I've never toured before. So I'm really excited about, you know, like Eastern Europe. And we're going back to Australia, which is one of my favorite places, just because it's kind of like Canada, but tropical. And I don't know. I kind of like touring everywhere. The worst, Europe is kind of hard in the winter just because it's so miserable. But audiences in Europe are really crazy. So they're like really easy to play to, you know. I guess I'm most excited to, to hit Eastern Europe, that's too.
Well, you can check out tour dates and more at grimesmusic.com. And Claire, it's always a pleasure to catch up, and we wish you the best of luck with everything that's to come in 2016. And congratulations. I know that you've made a lot of tops of the lists for magazines and things that have put out lists for the top records of 2015. So congratulations on that, and good luck with what's to come.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
And here's Grimes right now on the charts, sitting still at number one. The album is Art Angel. Stick around. There's more on the way. It's the Earshot 20.
I could live in the world just like a stranger. I could tell you the truth or a lie. I could tell you that people are good in the end, but why? Why would I? Angels will cry when it's raining. Tears that are no longer clean. What do you mean? What do you mean? So gone, I waited here so
it's the Earshot 20.
And our number one album this week is Grimes, Art Angels. Sitting still again this week, you heard Life in the Vivid Dream.
There you go. That does it for us. Caps off 2015. Thanks for listening. And if you want to catch any of the programs, go back and listen. You can do it at radioforall.net or podcast the show on iTunes. Check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/earshot20, to hear more about our holiday special on December 24th. Outside of that, we'll catch you in 2015. Stick around right now, though. More great programming is on the way on this station. Earshot 20 is produced out of Local 107.3 FM, St. John, New Brunswick's campus and community radio station. Comments, concerns, feedback, you can send to earshot20@gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter. Our handle is earshot20. Until next time, thanks for listening.